You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again.
On digital radio, online and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2.
And welcome to Stained Glass Radio for another Sunday night. Thanks very much for joining us. Received a little bit of sad news during the week. As many of you know, we have a policy of continuous improvement on North Sound 2. And continuous improvement means that Stained Glass Radio, unfortunately, will be no more from the 30th of June. That's the last Sunday this month. Stained Glass Radio will come to an end, and there's going to be a revamp of shows here on North Sound 2 that you can look forward to. Sad, but in a way, it's been a very good run. 7 years now, just about, we've been doing this show. And what a great time we've had, and some amazing people we've spoken to as well. Anyway, I'm not going to dwell on that too much for now, because we've got four programmes still to do, and this is number one of those four. So let's get down to business. What have we got on tonight's show? Well, many of us would like to give to charity, wouldn't we, or do something for charity, but what to do? The fact is that there are so many charities today, and they all seem like good causes. The problem is you just can't help everybody. So what can you do that's really going to make a difference? And not just to organise charities, but to your local community too. Laurie Newman has written a book called A Cup of Cold Water in His Name, 60 Ways to Care for the Needy, and it's published by Discovery House. And it's just full of ideas to enable you to really make a difference in other people's lives.
On digital radio, online and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2.
And now on the show, it's time to go for our thought for the week. This week, it comes from the Reverend Bob from Inveroorie.
Good evening. This past week, I've been enjoying a programme over three nights called Stargazing Live, and was fascinated by the fantastic amount of things the scientists are discovering about our universe, and the way they seem to be pushing back the boundaries of space. If indeed space has any boundaries. I was gobsmacked by what they are discovering about this awesome universe which God has created. The more the scientists uncover, the more my mouth drops open at the wonder of the God who lies behind it. But as the programmes progressed, I began to admire the honesty of the scientists who prepared them. In fact, so impressed was I that I made some notes. They said, for instance, we think that this is what happened, but we don't know yet. We have this idea that it happened like this. We have come across things that we had never dreamt of. And the classic one for me, either the universe was always here or it wasn't. The universe might be eternally expanding at an ever-increasing speed. I admire these men, their honesty, more so than some scientists that I've listened to on television. Early in the other programmes, they were making statements of the kind, our research so far suggests. But before the end of the programme, the suggestions have turned to definite assertions that this is the way it was X hundred million years ago. That way of using science, treating as proven that for which there is yet no definite evidence, does science no credit. It reminds me of the story which John tells in the New Testament. Jesus had come across a blind man and had healed him by restoring his sight. When the man's pals saw him, they couldn't believe their eyes. Isn't this the chap who used to sit and beg? Some asked. No, it can't be. It just looks like him. But the man said, it is me. I am the man. When the news of the man's claim to have had his sight restored reached the Jewish authorities, they sent for him. He told his story of having been healed by Jesus. And the Jewish leaders refused to believe him and sent for the man's parents and asked them to deny his tale. But the parents refused to be drawn into an argument that might have consequences for them if their answers didn't suit the leaders. So they said, "He's old enough to answer for himself." So they sent for the man again and said to him, "Promise before God that you will tell the truth. We know that this man is a sinner." "I don't know if he's a sinner or not," the man said. And then he made the statement which has been underlined in my Bible for most of my life. "One thing I do know. I was blind, and now I can see." Here was a statement that no one could ever shake him out of. "I admit that I was blind, but things have changed. I can see. And everyone can see that I can see. No one can deny it." The reason that I underlined that verse is that that is my experience as a Christian. There was a time when I could not have said that I was a Christian, but that changed long ago. I may have been blind to God, but now I am absolutely certain about him. Can you say that? Good night.
On digital radio, online and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2. News from a Christian perspective. Stained Glass Radio News on North Sound 2.
The same-sex marriage bill passed its first hurdle in the Lords on Tuesday with 390 votes to 148, but opponents have vowed it's not over yet. There will be other votes in the Lords in coming weeks where peers have the opportunity to pass key amendments or vote against the whole bill. Colin Hart, campaign director for the Coalition for Marriage, said the House of Lords has decided to allow the same-sex marriage bill to progress to the next stage. But many peers said they were doing so because they wanted to take a closer look at the bill before deciding whether to vote against it at a later stage. The bill must overcome other votes in the Lords, so it's not over yet. Lord Deer led opposition to the bill in the Lords. He said the legislation would completely alter the concept of marriage as we know it. He said the bill was ill thought through and had no democratic legitimacy and was fatally flawed. Government Minister Baroness Farsi refused to back the bill, saying she had misgivings about its impact on faith groups. Meanwhile, a survey by ITV News shows that three quarters of local conservative associations have lost members, and over half of them say it's because of gay marriage. A British man suffering from dementia has committed suicide at a Dignitas clinic in Switzerland in a case believed to be the first of its kind. Dementia is a neurodegenerative disease, but not a terminal illness. Pro-life group Care Not Killing, CNK, warned the case was hugely alarming and shows the real agenda of those seeking a change in the law. The unnamed 83-year-old man was helped in the process by an ex-GP known as Dr. Death. Britain is believed to be the first to die at Dignitas solely because of dementia. The publicity surrounding the case follows a peer's bid to introduce an assisted suicide bill which would allow doctors to give lethal drugs to patients who are believed to have less than 6 months to live. But CNK warned that those wanting to change the law are seeking assisted suicide or euthanasia almost on demand. The group commented, "We've been warning about an incremental approach, as once you change the law, you get more and more cases like this, which is why we are so worried. We know that people who are vulnerable, disabled and terminally ill will be most under pressure." Peter Saunders, CNK's campaign director, also pointed out the former GP involved, Michael Irwin, was struck off the medical register in 2005 after admitting to supplying sleeping pills to assist someone to die. It's a life and death struggle for an imprisoned house church leader in China. Gong Shengliang once led an underground house church movement of more than 50,000 people called the South China Church. In 2001, the government convicted him of rape, arson, and leading a cult. Even though many witnesses later recanted their testimony, he remains in jail. In a recent report in Christianity Today, Gong's daughter says he is near death after years of torture and neglect. She wrote a public letter to Chinese President Xi Jinping requesting her father's release and medical treatment. According to Christianity Today, she wrote, "My father's life is in grave danger. Accordingly, we have asked for his release on bail for urgent medical treatment. But again and again, our petitions have been completely ignored without any reasonable response. It's very urgent for my father to have immediate medical treatment. Otherwise, he will either die soon, while imprisoned under false pretense, or remain severely disabled for the remainder of his life." A local council is being sued by a secularist pressure group for allowing churchgoers to park free of charge in the town centre on Sundays. The National Secular Society, the NSS, is taking Woking Borough Council to court, claiming the scheme for three churches in the town is direct discrimination. Attendees of Coyne Church, Christ Church and Trinity Methodist Church use a validating device to mark car park tickets without needing to pay. Last year, following another challenge by the NSS, the council adopted a new policy statement to maintain the system. The NSS had claimed the scheme was in breach of the Equality Act 2010, but legal advice for the council said it could be justified on the basis that it was a proportionate means of achieving a legitimate aim. Now, Keith Porteous Wood, executive director of the NSS, is launching legal action to challenge preferential treatment of worshippers. Peter Bryant, the council's head of Democratic and Legal Services, said, "The policy applies to all faiths, not just to churchgoers. The council considers that places of worship and the faith communities that they serve play an important role both in society in general and Woking in particular." Ray Morgan, who is the council's chief executive, said people should not have to pay to pray. And one resident who is not a churchgoer said she felt it was very sad that the NSS is taking such a costly decision. Office worker Karen Vincent said, "No doubt the council will incur a large legal bill defending its decision. I'm sure that as well as the churches, the council helps other organisations with subsidised parking." Mr. Porteous Wood is bringing the legal action after he paid £3 to park in a town centre car park on Sunday, April 14th for more than 2 hours, while churchgoers parked there without charge. And finally, it's been revealed this week that actress Susan Sarandon frustrated the nuns at her Catholic school when she was a child by questioning their religious teachings. The star, who played a nun in the film Dead Man Walking, insists she was a very quiet kid who was keen to please until she started taking issue with what she was being taught. In a new TV interview with Oprah Winfrey, Sarandon said, "Certain things just didn't make sense to me, and when I questioned, there was a problem. I remember them telling me you couldn't be married unless you were married in the Catholic Church. And I asked how were Joseph and Mary married since Jesus didn't arrive till later. And I had to go stand in the hallway, and that's when the trouble began. I was told that I had an overabundance of original sin. But I was not trying to be a wise, expletive deleted. I just didn't understand why they would put babies in limbo just because they weren't baptized. Or why would they say every other religion was bad?" Stained Glass Radio News. Well, I think she was quite right to ask questions. I mean, doesn't it say in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves."
On digital radio, online, and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2.
Well, the Bible is full of examples of people helping others and having compassion. And of course, the greatest example by far is that of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we should, of course, follow his example. But every other time the postman calls these days, he puts charity mail shots through my letterbox, probably the same with you. And it soon becomes apparent to even the most generous soul that he or she can't help everybody. So with the world full of good causes and needy people, where do you start if you want to make a difference in other folks' lives? Well, our guest tonight decided to tackle that problem head on, and she has written a book entitled A Cup of Cold Water in His Name, 60 Ways to Care for the Needy, and it's published by Discovery House. We're delighted to have author and speaker Laurie Newman on the line to talk to us about it this evening. Laurie, thanks for joining us this evening.
And thank you so much for having me.
Laurie, what prompted you to write this book on caring for the needy?
There are so many statistics that we can get overwhelmed with. We live in a world where there are 145 million orphans. A child dies of hunger every 5 seconds. 925 million people are chronically undernourished. And if you look at those statistics, you can easily get overwhelmed by those numbers. But the truth of God's message in Matthew 25:40 says, I assure you, what you did to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. And sometimes we forget that word, one, and it's powerful. Whatever we have done to just one person, we've done it to the Lord himself.
Yeah. And Matthew 10:42, Jesus said, whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And that, in fact, is where you get the title of your book from, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
It's bewildering for a lot of people, isn't it, Laurie? The sheer range of charities that there are, all making appeals for donations, although we have to say that donations aren't the only way that people can help, and we'll come on to a few of those in a moment. But a cup of cold water in his name is written mainly for the US market, but it's well worth reading for us here in Scotland. For example, I came across details of charities that I never knew existed. One of them is Ronald McDonald House Charities. Now, I immediately thought, well, this is just the US, you know, being the home of McDonald's. But they have three in Scotland. I never realized that.
Yes.
What does this charity do?
There are a lot of families who are displaced because if a child or even a member of their family, it doesn't have to be a child, but it usually is ill. Well, that bill to go to another hospital and live in another city while their child or their loved one is getting medical treatment can be very expensive. So the Ronald McDonald House will actually house. It is a home that they have purchased where these families can stay near the hospital and be near their loved one, and they can stay there free of charge. But yet, the Ronald McDonald House needs volunteers in the community to come in and bring meals, and you can come and sit with that family and spend some time with them, get to know them, get a relationship with them, or you can just drop off your meal. But they always need meals for the Ronald McDonald House.
Well,
that
sounds like an excellent charity, because it's a problem for a lot of families when children are in hospital. At the moment, they only have, we have to say, they only have houses in Glasgow, in Inverness and Dundee. That's either side of us here in Aberdeen. But hopefully sometime in the future, you know, as they expand, they'll have Aberdeen, I'm sure, should be next on the list.
Mm. Well, they're always expanding.
And what are the main ways that an individual or a church might help? You said bringing meals. Obviously, donations are another way to help, yes?
You can donate, obviously. And the way I got to know about the Ronald McDonald House, we had a family come over and stay with us for a little while, and their baby was very sick. They were from Liberia, Africa. So it's people from all over the world.
Right.
And they definitely need those meals. They need people to donate things. They have toys there for the children to play with. A good way for you is just to get online, Ronald McDonald House. You can Google that and find one near you and see what they need.
Well, it sounds like a very worthy cause indeed. Laurie, your book highlights not just charities, but deals with the way that we as Christians can help people in our community. One of the things that comes across very strongly in your book for us to bear in mind is that people in need hardly ever ask for help. So we need to be on the lookout for people actually, particularly in certain areas, who need help. Who would you say we should look out for particularly, and what are some ways we might be able to help them?
Absolutely. This is my specialty, because I believe, yes, we should help those charities, but I believe there is a reason that God has put every individual right where they are, in their community, in their neighborhood, maybe in their small group at church, in the community center, right where they are. If you will just open your eyes to the needs around you, they are everywhere. And I'll give you an example. I have a friend who grew up in a single mom home, and those single moms sometimes don't ask for help, but you can bet that if you live near in your neighborhood a single parent, or if there's a single parent at your job, they probably are struggling financially. You could anonymously leave groceries on their doorstep. You can even maybe with your children hide in the bushes and see how it goes, or you can just leave them there and see how they react later. And my friend Leah came home from church when she was a little girl, and it was her mother, her brother, and herself. There was a box on the front porch. They didn't know what it was. When they came in, as her mother unpacked it, tears came down her cheeks. And it wasn't so much that someone had given her groceries, but there at the bottom of that box were some special things just for her children, because as a single mom, her children would ask for those things in the grocery store, maybe cookies or, you know, just things that were extra that she could not get for them. Someone at the bottom of that box had thought not only about her, but about her children, and put in some special things just for those children. So when you anonymously leave groceries, be sure and get a few extra special things for those children that they may not get on a regular basis. And that's just something that you can just look around and do. And there are so many more things. The book is broken down into the five areas from Matthew 25:40. Feeding the hungry and thirsty, inviting the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, and ministering to the prisoner. And those people are around us whether we realize it or not, even on a daily basis.
And one way, in fact, that I thought of while I was reading the book, I mean, if you don't fancy going shopping for the family because you're not quite sure perhaps what they might need, a gift card is always a good idea, isn't it?
That is really the best thing. In fact, if you'll keep some $5 gift cards in your wallet or in your purse, if you see someone in need, sometimes we think, oh, should I give that person cash? Should I not?
That's particularly the case. That's particularly the case, isn't it, where it's somebody that you don't know who
right.
maybe approaches you on the street and you think, should I give this person money? And you suggest in your book a gift card could be for an eatery somewhere, for a snack, a place to go for a snack would be a good idea.
If you carry those with you, you'll always be ready when you see someone in need.
Going beyond your local community to locations abroad, you recommend that if possible, Christians should use their holiday time to go on a mission trip. And you say that this benefits the person going as much as the ones they go to help. I know you've done this yourself, haven't you?
I have. There are many organizations that would love for you to come over and minister to the people that they work with in other countries. And, of course, we're talking about third world nations. I have been to Swaziland, Africa. I've been to South Africa. I've been to Haiti. And in all those places, there's such need like I've never seen in my life. And it's so easy to say, where do I start? But if you can go over there with an organization that's already on the ground, already working with one of those ministries and working with the people, that way you can see what they do. And you can. There's nothing like seeing the poverty for yourself. It will change you forever, make you so aware of what you've been given. And in fact, when I've come home, I've caught myself saying, why have I been given so much? And why have they been given so little? And I truly believe we have been given much so that we can give much.
What kind of things can you do? I mean, obviously you could help in things like food distribution for charities, but what other kinds of things can you do in those countries if you go on a trip as a volunteer?
Well, it depends on what type of trip it is. The trips that I've been on, we went to Swaziland, Africa, and we worked directly with children at care points. In Africa, in that particular part of Africa, there aren't so much foster homes or group homes for children. The children really are to themselves. There might be a 12-year-old child who's the head of their household because both parents have died of AIDS. And there are churches and ministries that come in, and they have made care points kind of in the center of the village, and those children can come there and be safe during the day and get a meal. And I was even able to help make that meal and distribute it to the children. They line right up. So I was able to help with orphans. But there are so many other things.
But
you
if you
help dig a well, so many things.
I was just going to say, if you're mechanically inclined, if you're a guy perhaps who, like me, can't cook for toffee, then it's a good idea to go over and help with things like perhaps construction or digging a well. That's a very important thing for a community, isn't it?
Especially water. In fact, there are so many people suffering around the world. We are so blessed to just be able to turn on the tap water and let the clean water run over our toothbrush.
Yeah.
You know, we just forget how wonderful we have it where we are, and these people have absolutely no clean water at all. To have clean water coming out of the ground through a well, even if it's a pump well that they have to work at, it is life-changing for them.
It's absolutely horrifying, actually, to watch some of the adverts we're getting at the moment on UK TV. Where they, for organizations like WaterAid, etc. And they talk about how families are forced to drink dirty water because there is absolutely nothing else.
And that's all they have.
It must absolutely revolutionize these communities when they get a well and have clean water on tap. It must be absolutely brilliant.
Yes, I've seen them dance in the water as it bursts forth from the ground. It is a beautiful sight.
Fantastic, I'm sure. What about finding out about this then? How does somebody, if they get the mood to do this and they think, I'm going to do something different this year, I'm going to volunteer and go abroad and make a positive difference to a community in Africa or even in Eastern Europe or somewhere like that, what do they do?
Yes, or even in South America, wherever. There are ministries all over the world. Well, I have in my book, not only does it give you 60 ways to help, but it gives everything you need. There are resources listed there, websites, there are phone numbers, ministry contact people that you can get in touch with. All of that is listed right there in the book. If it's a well that you'd like to help dig, I've got all of that information in the book. That's all you need.
And I must admit, I spotted one in your book, which is based in the UK, that people might like to look up. And I'll give it out now and then again later on the programme. It's www.themondochallenge.co.uk. www.mondochallenge.co.uk. And that, as you say, organises trips to various parts of the world, and I was surprised actually that these things aren't prohibitively expensive.
No, they really aren't. In fact, a lot of the trips you can get sponsorship for. Here in the United States, a lot of people that I know, they have the time that they can take for vacation, but they might not have all the money that they need to fly over with the ministry. So they send out letters to friends and family and people in their church, and people who cannot go would be glad to help them go. So they have raised all the money that way. So that's an idea.
So you could go for sponsorship as well. That would be great. And you know, you're using up your holiday time. You're having a holiday, not just a holiday, but you're contributing to a community abroad and making a real difference in people's lives. You must come back, not only probably needing another holiday, but you must come back, you know, with that extra dimension, feeling that you've really made a difference for people.
Absolutely.
That must be great. Laurie, your book is absolutely full of great ideas on how to make a positive impression on people in the name of Jesus. And for anyone who really wants to make a difference, it's well worth a read. As I say, it is written for the US market, but it's full of great suggestions and websites that people can go to for more information. It's entitled A Cup of Cold Water in His Name, 60 Ways to Care for the Needy, and it's published by Discovery House. And it's available through all the usual channels, through Christian bookshops, and, of course, on the old Amazon website too. Laurie Newman, thank you so much for joining us this evening. It's been great to speak with you.
Thank you. It has been such a pleasure.
On digital radio, online, and on 10:35 a.m.
Stained Glass Radio. On North Sound 2.
A Cup of Cold Water in His Name, 60 Ways to Care for the Needy, and it's published by Discovery House. And one of those sites that we mentioned that's in the UK that you can take a look at if this sort of thing interests you, www.mondochallenge.co.uk, www.mondochallenge.co.uk. It organises mission trips all over the world, and as we say, you can use your holiday time, if you would like to do that, to make a real difference in people's lives. And let's take a look at the What's On information in association with the Aberdeen Christian Diary on the web at www.the-abcd.org.uk. And on Wednesday the 12th, this coming Wednesday, Confidence in the Gospel is the title. It's a leadership conference and it runs from 9:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. and 7:30 until 9:30 p.m. at Gilkinson Church, Union Street, Aberdeen, AB 10 1TP. Speaker is Dr. Joseph Stowell. It's hosted by the Herald's Trust and sessions are on the theme of confidence, with emphasis on expressing it through the way we live, preach and endure. Booking for the daytime session is £20. The evening sessions are free of charge. For more information and online booking, see the website www.theheraldstrust.org or telephone 01506 437711. Friday 14th through until Sunday 16th, the Art of Hearing God course at Aboyne Scout Hut, Ballater Road, Aboyne, AB34 5NG. It's led by Rick and Cynthia Hayes of Streams Ministries International North Atlantic Dreams. Further information and booking details are available from www.northatlanticdreams.net or from John Glass on 01339 886079. Friday 14th and Thursday's Child Duo, that's at 7:30 p.m. at Woodside Parish Church, Church Street, Woodside, Aberdeen, AB24 4DQ. Songs for those with far to go for faith or personal peace, it says. A Christian concert with a biblical message performed by the Reverend Carol Ann Parker and Reverend Stephen Brown from Fraserburgh. It's free of charge, but a donation for Thursday's Child would be greatly appreciated. Contact there is the Reverend Marcus Alferman on 01224 484 562. Saturday the 15th and Songs for a New World, that's at 7:30 p.m. at St Mark's Church, Rosemount Viaduct, Aberdeen, AB25 1JY. It's a series of songs connected by a theme, the moment of decision, part of a Scotland-wide tour by the Green Room Moving Musical Theatre Company. Tickets are £12, £10 concessions from www.greenroommusicaltheatre.ticketsource.co.uk. That's www.greenroommusicaltheatre.ticketsource.co.uk or telephone 07581 577 993. 17th, that's Monday through until Friday 21st, Creative Inspirational Week Music, and that's at LL Scotland, Blairmore House, Glass Huntley, AB54 4XH, a fun workshop with Christian composer Roger Jones, and music making using both instruments and voice, it says, and including his musical David from Shepherd Boy to King. Contact for that is LL Ministries 01466 799 102 or email bookings at scotland.ll.org.uk or take a look at the website www.llministries.org. And that's it for the What's On information. Anything you'd like us to include, it's just a case of sending in an email at stainglassradio@northsound2.com. stainglassradio@northsound2.com.
Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.